Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, class, take your seats. I said take your seats. Class, sit.
Shh.
I swear you're all acting like a bunch of animals. Pet Life Radio presents Teacher's Pet, where you'll learn how to understand and communicate with your pet and train them to be the best pet they can be. It's time to see the world from your pet's point of view. So give a tail-wagging welcome to your Teacher's Pet host on PetLifeRadio.com. You may even learn a few tricks yourself.
Hi, welcome to Teacher's Pet on Pet Life Radio. This is Pia Silvani, Director of Training and Behavior at St. Hubert's Animal Welfare Center in Madison, New Jersey, and your host. This week, you will be expanding upon your recall. If you're not ready to move on, take a few more weeks to ensure that your dog is moving toward you, sitting and not getting up until you release him. You can always come back to this lesson at a later date. Now, when we think about a recall is a very complex behavior. There are many parts to the recall that can break down, causing the dog's recall basically to fall apart. A complex behavior, what I mean by that is it's a behavior that has many links. Think of it as a chain that has several links joined together to create one long chain. So over the next several weeks, what you're going to do is you're going to work on each separate link. The three recall links, I like to call them, that you're going to work on is number one, teaching your dog to leave or come off a distraction. That's link number one. Link number two, the dog has now come off the distraction, but then suddenly he sees something along the way. So he needs to learn to pass by distractions. And then the third link to make a strong chain are distractions behind you. So the dog needs to learn, remember, to find your feet and sit and not suddenly decide to pass you by or run circles around you once he gets there. Once you have proofed and made all of these three links strong, then you can begin to put them together to make that strong chain or what I call a strong recall. In order for you to be successful, you must make sure that your dog comes each and every time. So therefore, you either need to have him on a 6-foot lead, or my recommendation is to get a long line. A long line is basically like a long leash. You can purchase them at any pet store. They're hooked up onto your dog's collar, and they have them between 25, 30, and 50 feet. And basically, your dog is just dragging that around. So your dog should not learn that he's quicker and more agile than you are. And then he thinks it's fun. Once he figures that out, that's his game. It's not your game. So he shouldn't figure out that he can have fun without you. You need to bring on the fun. This week, what we're going to do is we're going to add distractions when calling your dog. So you're going to practice as you've learned in previous lessons. Remember that your dog should always look at you when you say his name prior to being called. If he does not look at you, he's not paying attention to you. And it's unlikely that he's going to respond when you say here at this stage of his learning. Later on, as he becomes more successful, yes, he doesn't automatically have to turn. So with my dogs, for example, if I say their names in here, they're really turning and anticipating a recall. So they're turning on their name. But I wouldn't expect that of your dogs at this stage of their learning. So before we begin our training session, what I'd like you to do is practice calling your dog to you several times, maybe no more than three, making sure that your dog is looking to you when you say his name, he's sitting in front of you, and he's not getting up until you release him. Don't forget, give him wonderful treats and take a play break. Taking those play breaks are critical. So anytime I work on any kind of behavior, I typically do it 2 or 3 times, and then I take a short break and I play. I might do 2 or 3 times, I take a short break and I play. I might do it 1 time, take a short break and play. So right now, we're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll get ready and we'll have some fun.
Okay, class, grab your tuna flakes, biscuits, and bones. Teacher's Pet will be back in 2 shakes of a tail, right after recess.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, class, hang up your collars and leashes. Teacher's Pet is back in session. Now park yourselves on the floor. I said park, not bark. Ugh. Okay, Teacher's Pet. Pay attention. There may be a quiz later.
Welcome back. This is Pia Silvani, host of Teacher's Pet on Pet Life Radio. Thanks again for joining us. Today, as you know, we are going to be working on the next steps of HEAR. To begin, when working with your dog, make sure that you're always in a safe area. Safe meaning fenced-in area. You don't want to work close to a street. You want to make sure that your dog has a long line on for safety. If you cannot find an area that is safe, make sure that that long line is always on. If you're concerned, if you've got a dog that's a bolter, you might want to hold the end of the line. You can also put some knots in the line all along the way. So just in case you have to step on the line, it doesn't slide through your shoe. Allow your dog to have some exercise. And whenever he returns to you and we get those free check-ins, make sure you reward him. So when you take him out, play games like hide and seek, chase me, and then you get rewarded. I'm always, if I'm in the backyard and I see my dogs get distracted, maybe they're sniffing the ground, I suddenly might take off around the house. Okay? And the dogs see me take off and they run, they catch up. So it's a fun game for the dogs. So I might always have maybe a tennis ball in my pocket. I might have frisbees laying around the yard. So the dogs are always keeping an eye on me. So you can begin to call your dog to come when he's already on his way also. So say your dog is sniffing and then he sees you start to walk away and he comes running to you. You might all of a sudden suddenly say, here, he's already offering the behavior so you can add the cue. And then gradually you're going to begin to add mild distractions, making sure at all times that you can control the dog. So for example, if you call your dog when he's looking at something and he does not spin, step on the light line so he can't go to the distraction. As soon as he turns toward you, mark it with a yes, run away, and lavish him with praise. So you want to encourage that chase. And gradually what you're going to do is you're going to increase the level of distractions. You can also ask a friend to help you by setting up distractions and having the friend remove them in case the dog is distracted. So to make sure your dog is successful, it's a good idea to take your dog out when he's hungry, if you're going to use food, if you're going to use play as a reward. What I would do is probably deprive him of play a little bit. Don't play with him that morning if you know you're going to take him out in the afternoon to work with him. If he's just eaten or he spent the last 20 minutes tugging or playing with the neighbor's children, food and play will not be good enough reward for him, especially if you're planning on calling him off a person, a squirrel, deer droppings, another dog. So when you begin this exercise, always call him off low-value distractions while giving him high-value rewards when he gets to you, not the other way around. Critical. So to increase your dog's reliability when you call him off distractions, you should randomly let the dog enjoy the distractions also. So for example, say I'm in the backyard and it's a fenced area and all of a sudden my dog sees a squirrel. And I call my dog here, buddy here, and he comes running to me. What I might do is I might do a tug game and then send him back to the squirrel. Obviously the squirrel is up the tree at the time, so he can't get to it. But that's one way of teaching him that he can go back to the distraction. So what I'm going to have you do now is I'm going to have you start off by putting a distraction out of some sort that your dog wants. Low value, something that he might just be interested in, okay, but not really anything of high value. So it could be anything. You can toss out even just a sock on the ground. You can toss out a shoe. You can drop a piece of paper. Anything that you think might distract the dog. So once he goes and he starts to sniff it, right, say your dog's name, here, and as soon as his head turns and he spins, that's when you're going to mark it with a yes. Take off and run to encourage him to come after you, right, and make sure he comes in. He sits, and then reward him. So again, anything you can find, if you're doing this outside, it can be just the dog sniffing in the grass. It can be the dog looking at something. Okay, so remember, distractions are anything that is obviously distracting the dog. the closer they are to the distraction, the more difficult it's going to be. So, for example, if I'm working on this and say I want him to come off of a milk bone that I've placed down, what I might do is I might toss the milk bone out 6 feet in front of me. And when the dog takes one step towards the milk bone, I'm going to say his name and hear, take off and run. If he's nose to nose from the distraction, that's going to make it a lot more difficult. He will probably pick up the milk bone and come running to you. However, don't want him to get that close at this time. So randomly allow him to pick up the object. Again, if he's doing really well, gradually then start to make the distractions a little bit more difficult as time goes on. Okay, so that's link number one. You will work on that entirely separate. So as you're working on that, make sure that there are no distractions along the way and there are no distractions behind you, because that's going to be links number two and number three. So you want to continue proofing here, again, calling your dog off distractions. So what you're going to do as well, and now that your dog knows weight, if you don't have someone to hold your dog, what you can do is you can set the dog up by putting him in a weight and then setting up a distraction along the way. So as we talked about with stay, there are setups that you can do when you're practicing alone, or you can use real life distractions such as a squirrel running across the path. You're out in the field and, you know, there are geese droppings or maybe the scent of an animal that was in your yard the night before. So here does not mean move away from something, but stop along the way and have a little snack or meander at your dog's leisure. That's why you really want to encourage speed in your dog. The quicker the dog runs to you, the quicker he'll run past the distraction. So sort of think of it as, I always tell my students that you don't want the dog to window shop. If he's going at a slow pace, he's able to window shop and he might see that sale in the window and stop in. But however, if you think I'm late for the plane, and you're booking past the stores, you're moving fast, you might glance at that sales sign, but you think, I have no time because I have to get someplace. That's the attitude that you want from your dog. So what you're going to do when you set up distractions along the way, you can put your dog in a weight, provided he's got a reliable weight. And you can put yourself probably 12 feet away from the dog. And now what you're going to do is you're going to place a distraction far off to the side, in the middle between you and your dog, not immediately along your dog's path, because that's going to be easy for him to pick up. So basically what you're doing, let's pretend that your dog is, you think of a pyramid. Your dog is at one end of the bottom of the pyramid, you're at the other end of the bottom of the pyramid, and at the top of the pyramid, away from your dog, at least 10 feet away, in the middle, is your distraction. And that can be anything. So you're going to place it down. You'll put your dog in a weight, place your distraction down, again, at least 10 feet off of the straight line, the straight path that your dog needs to come. And now you're another 10 feet away. You're going to call your dog to here. If at any moment you think your dog is going to go to the distraction, you have your line on, you can quickly pick the line up and run off in the other direction. Or you can run in towards the dog so he doesn't get the distraction. So you need to beat him to the distraction. Now, if you can't beat him, if he's a lot quicker than you are, what I've done many times also is I've put the distraction on a line. So let's say I have a tennis ball. I'm going to use the tennis ball as the distraction. What I will do is I will make a hole through the tennis ball, put a rope on it. So now I'm holding the rope. When I call the dog here, if the dog is heading for the tennis ball, I can quickly pull it away so the dog can't get at it. You can also use, if you have a friend, family member, okay, that person can be standing near the distraction and quickly take it away or step on it. So say, for example, you're using a treat as a distraction. Okay, so quickly, the person can step on the treat so the dog can't get at it. If the dog passes the distraction and sits, you want to reward the dog, lots of rewards, and then periodically send him back to the distraction. So if you're using a treat, for example, and that dog, he looks at it and he says, nope, got to get to my owner and sit. maximize your rewards, okay, play with them, and then send them back to the treat. Tell them to go get it or go find it. Now, you don't want to do that every single time, so your dog anticipates getting the treat or getting the distraction. It's up to you. So, for example, if you want him to pass something like deer droppings, maybe you don't want him to eat deer droppings, so you're not going to send him back each and every time, so he should not just assume that he's going back. However, you need to find something that's going to be better than deer droppings, which is not an easy task. So you really have to keep him busy, keep him focused once he gets to you, so he doesn't want to run back. So if you can put him in play mode seems to work a lot better than putting him than just feeding the dog. All right, I'm going to go over now. The last part is, you'll have plenty of time to work on these. These are distractions behind you. So you'll continue to work on the first two links. Remember, calling your dog off a distraction, having the dog pass by you. And now lastly, what you're going to do is you're going to set up a distraction that's behind you. So easily what you can do, once again, you can either put your dog in a wait if you don't have anybody to work with, or maybe your dog is just meandering around. You can all of a sudden put a distraction down behind you. You can drop it and call your dog here. If your dog should try to sidestep you to get the distraction, just sidestep him. So basically what you're doing is you're becoming a goalie. You're not allowing him to move to that distraction. If he comes in, he sits, reward him, and then give him an okay release, and sometimes allow him to get the distraction. So for example, what I will do is, my dogs, as you know, are crazy about frisbees. So what I will do is I will throw a frisbee behind me. I will call my dogs here. They know to move in and sit. Sometimes I'll pick the frisbee up and then throw it to them. Other times I will send them to the frisbee, to have the frisbee. Maybe I might pick that frisbee up and not give it to the dog at all. So you want to make sure that you are inconsistent. You should not be a predictable trainer. So let's try this. Let's try setting one up. Again, if you need to, what you can do is you can put your dog in a wait if you don't have somebody that can hold your dog, and have something that your dog might want. Maybe your tug toy. Try your tug toy, especially if your dog likes that tug toy. Or drop one of your treats behind. So you're going to call your dog here. You're going to move maybe 15 feet away from your dog. Make sure your dog sees that there is a distraction behind. And call your dog here. Your dog should move in directly. Sit in front of you. Not try to pass you by. Once he's seated, he must remain seated until you release him. And then it's your choice. Either pick up the distraction, give it to the dog, step aside, let the dog take the distraction when you say take it, or pick the distraction up and not give it to the dog. But you need to be random with that. That's critical. So you can try that again one more time. Again, you can don't have to put your dog in a wait. If he's just sniffing around, wait for him to start to sniff around. So maybe now you're calling him off a distraction, something that he's sniffing. Make sure you have that long line on at all times so you can always ensure that you can reinforce the dog moving towards you. If he doesn't respond right away, do not repeat here. Say it once, but make sure he heard you. If you're working at a distance and your dog is not responding to his name, you may need to go back and work on saying his name when the dog is at a distance and rewarding that. So remember, if your dog is sniffing something and you say his name, he should pick his head up. If your dog is eating his meal and you say his name, he should stop eating and pick his head up out of the bowl. Okay, that's what it means. Doesn't mean that you're going to take the food away. Just means that I said your name and I expect you to at least look at me. Acknowledge that I said something. So maybe the recall is not the problem. It's that the dog is not paying attention and that you don't have a good response to the dog's name. So you might need to go back and work on that before you start to work on recall distractions. So have a seat and I'm going to go over some things for you to write down, some ideas for each of these. So we'll start off with link number one. when you're working on these, again, it can be some ideas that we like to use. The dog sniffing something. The dog looking at something. Maybe the dog is greeting another dog and just about done greeting, and you call the dog off. Buddy here, and you take off and run. Maybe there is a guest at the door, and now the dog has greeted the guest, and you call the dog off a person. You might want to put an object down, such as maybe he's moving towards something. So he's moving towards an object that you want. Call him when he takes one step towards it, not when he's already there. It's a perfect if you're on your walk and all of a sudden you see him up on his tiptoes and he sees a squirrel, for example, and you know that he's going to dart. Rather than being pulled off your feet, say his name here and run in the other direction. So he learns to come off of things instead. If you're having trouble with that, squirrels and probably wildlife are going to be the most difficult. So you want to start off again with easy things and then gradually increase the level of the difficulty. You can have somebody hold a biscuit in their hand. Let your dog sniff the biscuit. He should immediately come off of it when you call him. Now, distractions along the way. They can be setups, as we talked about. So make sure you're starting off with distractions along the way. So say you're out walking your dog and you think, there's a distraction right there. I'm going to see if I can call my dog past that. So calling him off a distraction, calling him past the distraction, and once he's getting good at it, move that distraction closer and closer and closer into the dog's path. So for example, what I might do is I might put my dog in a weight, and I'm going to take a straight path away from my dog 20 feet. As I'm walking, I might drop a treat along the way, and then I turn. The dog should not stop to pick that treat up. The dog should be running so fast that he almost says, oh shucks, I was going too fast to get that object. So the dog should be able to run over a distraction eventually. Not right away. Again, don't go from simple arithmetic to calculus. Lastly, distractions behind you. Again, they can be setups or they can be something. For example, when I had my golden retrievers, they love the children at the bus stop. So what I would do every morning is I would take them down to the bus stop and I would have the children behind me. So I would call my dog here. If the dog sat, the reward was he got to greet the children. And then I made it a little bit more difficult. What I would do then is I would have the children clapping. So I call my dog here. The children were behind me and they were clapping a little bit. Maybe sometimes they had a treat. Maybe sometimes they were even saying his name. Just because they're saying his name does not mean the dog should pass you by. And if you elicit the help of children, they love to be involved in this. So that can be great fun. Maybe if the dog is really into tennis balls or other balls, have them bounce balls behind. Have them bounce balls along the way. Have them hold a tennis ball or a ball and then have to call the dog off of it. If the dog comes to you, then they can toss the ball. So those are just some ideas to give you. This is going to take some time. Again, don't expect this to be perfect. The older your dog gets, the more you've conditioned your dog to always respond, the more reliable he will be. Okay, so I never expect a really, really reliable recall from a very young dog. It's just probably not going to happen, especially when they're in their adolescent stage. And adolescence usually ends somewhere between usually females around 2, males around 3. But remember, the larger the breed, the longer the adolescence. So they're going to be a little bit of challenging. So unfortunately, we're out of time. Don't forget to check back for training session number 9. As always, a special thanks to our producers for making the show happen. Please go to PetLifeRadio.com and click on Teacher's Pet. Also, please feel free if you have any questions, comments, or special ideas that you would like me to cover on the show. I'll be more than happy to answer them. And you can email me at Pia@PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, this is Pia signing off. Thank you again for your interest in Pet Life Radio. We appreciate it.
Tools in Session on Pet Life Radio with Teacher's Pet. Learn how to communicate with your pet, train your pet, and see the world from your pet's point of view. You may even learn a few tricks yourself. Teacher's Pet, only on PetLifeRadio.com.